Our time is now. When I look out amongst our congregation, I truly believe our time is now. When Mael and I first saw Portland Christian Center, it was in the middle of the night. Okay, not the middle of the night, 9 o'clock, but it was dark. And as we drove up, we saw light coming from this building, and instantly Mael yells out, "It's a city on a hill! It's a light to all of Portland." And immediately our hearts began stirring and being drawn to this church. And it's just amazing to hear so many of you were drawn to what God is doing at Portland Christian Center and the light of what God was doing. It's just absolutely amazing. And one of the most important parts of being a light to the nations is knowing that the facility reflects the people within it. The facility reflects the people within it. Because I believe that the light of God is meant to be inside of every single one of us and then spread all throughout the world. You see, Jesus looks at you and he looks at me and he says, "You are the light of the world." And this week, as I was preparing the this message, I actually read in Eugene Peterson's version of the Bible, his commentary or exposition of it. It says this, and I love the way that he describes you and me, the reflection of what God's doing in the church. He says in Matthew 5:14, he says, "You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this. As public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I have put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives by opening up to others. You'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. You are the light of the world. And our time is now. Building on faith, this campaign is all about us standing on the shoulders of those who have gone before us. Because we have a facility that facilitates a vision to love God, present hope, and develop people. In 2021, Mael and I got a phone call from some guy we'd never met before. His name was Greg. Greg Inman, he's one of the deacons here. And he said, "Hey, I want you to prayerfully consider interviewing to become the next lead pastor at Portland Christian Center." And so Mael and I started praying, and we had no idea what would happen. Have you ever had God call you direction and you think it's gonna be smooth sailing? All the doors will be wide open. There will be no conflict. Everybody will love your message. Everybody will be so thrilled. Everything is always up and to the left. And then just 2 years into it, a pipe bursts. And here we are. Have you ever found yourself in a moment like that personally? Like that job you've been praying for, and then when you finally get it, you say, "God, why'd you put me here?" Like that relationship, "God, if I just had this relationship just right," and then you get it and you're like, "God, why did you send me this person?" It's just amazing how God will call us to something and we think there won't be adversity as we go towards it. But if you look throughout Scripture, adversity is usually a part of his plan to take what you think is supposed to be and he's gonna actually make it better. I believe our time is now is for all of us to prayerfully consider, "God, what do you want to do through me?" Especially in the face of adversity, because the biggest lie the enemy wants you and I to believe is he's not with you and he's not for you. But I want to remind some of us today of what Ephesians 3:20 actually says about us and our story. It says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work without you. Does it say that? What does it say? Within us. Do you know that God is not interested in building his church without you? Why? Because people are the church. People are the prize. So much so that he would send his one and only son to die for you and for me. People are his prize. That's why we would give and pray and participate to build a church that literally is on a hill, shining a light into Beaverton, shining a light into Wallaton, shining a light into Portland, Cedar Hills, all the way out to Forest Grove. And as we talked about in missions last week, all across the world. That is the movement that you and I are a part of, and facilities reflect the vision of the congregation. And we want to always be a beacon of light. And so what we want to be is people that in no way, no shape or form, we would never, ever, ever put down what God has done in the past. In fact, we say thank you. We're so grateful. You want to know why? Because what it would cost to build a facility with today's day and today's money, to have the room and the building that we have would be more. I know one church, it's costing them $30 million to do something that we already have. It is amazing. And some of you in this room have been a part of this journey. And what I want to encourage all of us is let's stand on these shoulders. Let's build on faith. Let's believe. Because we want to be a people and a group that shines the light of Christ to Portland today. Amen. Yeah, that's great. It's worth sacrificing for. It's worth giving to. And so what I want to show you, and I hope you're excited about this, is something pretty cool. It's a sneak peek into what our new sanctuary and lobby is going to look like. You want to see it? Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure. Just kidding. I'll show it to you. Oh, they already played it anyways. My little pump fake was going. So as you can see, this is the new lobby coming in. It's going to be absolutely beautiful. The wood and stuff will be stained a little darker along there. And then you can see the new sanctuary. It's going to be bright. It's going to be simply a beautiful refresh to reach the next generation, and to reach also this generation for Jesus. I'm so grateful for all that God has already begun to do, and it just gets me excited to know that God is on the move. And like I said, to do a building refresh like this is nothing compared to actually starting new and building something that didn't exist before. And I want to show you this next picture. We're also going to update, should be coming right here, is the Worship Art Center as well. The carpet in there needs to be refreshed and touched up. And so we are in the process of drawing. And I want to say thank you to all of those that came out on Friday and Saturday. We had a demolition party, and we're getting the carpet. If you haven't had a chance to look through, I would encourage you to do that. But I want to thank Pastor Rick and all the deacons that came out and all the volunteers that helped us. Thank you, because we're saving money by doing some of the work on our own. We're trying to be as frugal as we can, but we also believe that this church needs to shine bright for Portland. Anybody else with me on this? We want to do the very best that we can. Not only are we going to do that, but something else that's really important is we want to reach kids for Jesus. I'm going to try it over here. We want to reach kids for Jesus. Absolutely. My prayer and my dream is that if you have children, that they are dragging you to church. That they're saying, we've got to get to church. We've got to go. And I've actually seen a couple of them, kids literally skipping down the halls trying to get there. And Pastor Manoa is doing such a great job. And one of the things she noticed right when she came in here, she said, the youth have their own room. But what about the kids? You see, what's amazing is in this lobby, before we came down here and took the kids' space away, is that was the kids' space. They would come and play, but it was always used multi-purpose. It's all and it's been fantastic. They've done so many different things: weddings, events, men's breakfasts, women's things, and it's been fantastic. But we began to dream and pray, what if we created a space just for kids? Just for them, where they can leave it set up, where they can have it a place all their own. And so room 217-18, which is gonna be up there on the main level, you can see that later, is gonna be a space dedicated completely to kids. And I wanna show you a quick picture of that. And it's gonna be gorgeous, come on. Again, this facility is such a gift to us. And it's our job to steward it the very best we can to reach people for Jesus. Amen? Amen? And so as you're listening to this, you might be thinking, man, Pastor Nate, that is so exciting. But like most people, when you look at something that's exciting, you begin asking the question, how much? I can see some of you looking at me like, okay, Pastor Nate, you're getting excited. I'm excited too, but how much? The first thing you need to hear from me before I start talking about how much is I'm so thankful for the leadership and the strength that this church has shown over the last 100 years, that today we sit in a facility that is 100% debt-free. Amen? And I myself and the leadership of our church, our deacons, we are also committed to not going into debt to remodel the building. Come on, somebody. So what we've done is we've broken it down by phases so that as we raise the money, we can do each phase so that when we accomplish this, we will not only have a refreshed facility, but we will also be debt-free still. Isn't that great? So phase one, I wanna show you, is $1.4 million. That gets us back in the sanctuary, the lobby, the bathrooms, carpet around, staging, seating, and wall repairs. That's phase one. Phase two would be the kids area, chapel, LED wall, classrooms, worship arts center, LED lighting, lobby, and the stairs. And then finally, phase three would be the office carpet, the gym floor. As you can look around, you'll see it needs to be refinished. More LED lighting, a new playground addressed out there, and then the media room. Isn't it amazing how much technology is starting to cost these days? It's just amazing. However, all of this is more than possible. Did we not just read Ephesians 3:20? We need to go back. Let's go back to that slide real quick. Can we go back to Ephesians 3:20? Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. God wants to use you. He wants to use me to further the kingdom. And we want to create a space and a place that will light up the dark and that people would come and that they would find freedom. They would find healing. They would find salvation. And one of the most lonely times in history, people would find family, because many of you here sitting in these chairs, you have found family here. And it's time to open up our doors, open up our arms and say, come, come, we love you, we'll welcome you, we'll help you. Why? Because Jesus has called us to something so much greater than ourselves. And I've talked to many parents and grandparents, and I was talking to one grandparent, and he was saying, Pastor Nate, pray for me and my family because our kids don't serve Jesus and our grandkids, they're far from God. And I ask him, what would you sacrifice if you knew your grandkids could be at church? He said, I'd give my right arm. I'd give my right arm. And I remember thinking, sometimes we get caught in our preferences. When you're desperate and you want people to come to Christ, you'll sacrifice anything. And we have to remember that's how God feels about every person in Portland. Every person in Oregon, every person across the world. That's why we give to missions. That's why we build a church to last. That's why we do everything we can to advance the kingdom of God. So next, what I want you to do is, if you have a cell phone or if you have a piece of pen and paper, I want you to write down a date for me. November 17th. Say it with me, November 17th. November 17th, in the next 5 weeks, that's 5 weeks away, I'm going to ask you every single week, and the people preaching every week are going to ask you one important question. This is the question throughout the whole series. God, what do you want to do through me? God, what do you want to do through me? November 17th will be Commitment Sunday. And we're believing and we're praying that God's going to do immeasurably more than we can ever ask, think, or imagine. I believe with all my heart that the best days of Portland Christian Center are not behind us. They are in front of us. I believe that there are thousands of people that need Jesus, that need to be here at Portland Christian Center, finding freedom, finding hope, and finding the grace and truth in Jesus Christ. Amen? But it starts within us, doesn't it? God, what do you want to do through me? What do you want to do through me? Now, in order to get there, I believe that we have to teach and understand God's method for how we get there. Because what I don't want you to ever hear from what I'm saying today is guilt or shame. The Bible says actually don't give if you feel guilty or shame about it. It says that the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And so what I want to equip you with over the next 5 weeks, this is a 6-week series, this is the first one over the next 5 weeks, is through this book called The Treasure Principle by Randy Alcorn, and he talks about unlocking the secret of joyful giving. In other words, many people don't understand that when your heart is unlocked by these truths, you will give joyfully, not under compulsion, not because you feel like you have to, but because God has done something in your life. He's changed the way that you think about money. He's changed your heart to realize that there's something greater to live for. And when you give, you start laughing. It's not like, oh, it's like, ha ha. I get to give. Are you kidding me? Let's go. Some of you here are like, I've never experienced anything like that. Over the next 5 weeks, I believe if you start applying what we're talking about, there will be a shift in your heart. Because ultimately, this is not only about refreshing a facility. This is about our hearts becoming more like Jesus. Our hearts growing. And so to help you, to equip you, what we're going to do after this service, the book, The Treasure Principle, is available in the lobby and also on the way out. And we want every family to take one copy. It's free to you. There's no cost. It's free. I want you to grab the book. And if you're married, I want you to start reading it with your spouse. I want every family to start reading this book. And in the back, there's a place where you can journal, because as you read it, God will start unlocking things in your life. And here's what's amazing. If you have kids, I want you to read it and start talking to your kids about it, because whether or not you know it, your kids are listening. Have you ever had your kids repeat something back to you like, what? I didn't know you were paying attention. Oh, no. Watch out what we say, right? Kids are listening. I remember growing up, my parents had just gotten a new job. We were living in Gresham, Oregon, just right over here. And they got a job in Seattle, Washington, in Renton, Washington, just 20 minutes south of Seattle, as new pastors. And you know what I remember thinking? Nobody asked me if we were going. I'm 6 years old and people are leaving. I'm like, well, we're not moving. All of a sudden, have you ever thought through the eyes of a child? Boxes show up, trucks show up. Nobody asked them, but they're moving. And I remember being so upset. I'm 6 years old. I'm not happy. And I remember being just like, ooh, you know. And I had my favorite toy. Anybody ever have a favorite toy growing up? Raise your hand if you ever had a favorite toy growing up. A lot of you didn't have a I'm sorry for all of you that didn't raise your hand. You didn't have any favorite toy? Okay, well, I had a favorite toy, and it was a glowworm. Raise your hand if you know what a glowworm is. I want to show you a picture of a glowworm. This is a glowworm that's coming up right behind me. Hey, don't judge. Some of you are laughing at me, okay? Hey. It's a very tough doll, right? I love this guy. This was my glow worm. Now, here's what was cool about a glow worm. When you held it and you squeezed it, its light turned bright green and lit up, okay? I love my little glow worm. And so I remember sitting in my bedroom, and my mom is trying to talk me through this. And it's funny, I was talking to her last night about it. And you know what's funny? She didn't remember any of this. She remembered the doll, but she didn't remember the story. I'm like, Mom, this was like life-altering for me, you know? So what happened was we had to move up to Renton, and I remember she saying, hey, this little, your favorite toy, it has to go in the box. You can't take it in the car with you. And you know what I said? No! And I just started crying. I was like, no! I got to keep it with me. How do I know that the glow, my guy will get there? I don't know. There's no way. I'm just throwing a fit, you know. And she was like, I'm sorry, honey. You have to put. And we just went back and forth. I remember just being so upset. And finally, after much tears, I think I ran out of tears, I finally handed the doll over. She put it inside the box. And then we went to the car. We drove all the way up I-5 and landed in Renton and ran into my room, and there was the box sitting right there. I went in there and opened it. No glow. Oh, just kidding. The glow worm was there. There was my glow worm. The reason I'm telling you that story is this. When it comes to your finances, when it comes to the things that you value most on this earth, Jesus teaches us this. You can't take it with you, but you can send it ahead. Everything that you have in your life, all of the money in your bank account right now, no matter how big it is or embarrassed you might be by how small it is, none of that gets to go with you. When Rockefeller died, they asked his assistant, how much money did he leave? He was a billionaire, one of the richest people ever, they say. And they said, how much did he leave? And you know what she said? All of it. All of it. You've never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse, have you? Why? You can't take it with you. But Jesus shows up with this radical idea. He says that you may not be able to take it with you, but I've got priority shipping. We can send it ahead. Way better than FedEx or UPS. There is a way that you can start storing up treasures in heaven. Matthew 6:19, this is what Jesus says. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. You need to hear this. This is so important what Jesus is saying. You know what he's saying? He's not saying don't store up treasures. In fact, he's actually telling the opposite. You know what he's saying? Store up treasures. Are you storing up treasures today? Are you storing up treasures today? Are you storing up treasures today? I don't know. I just thought I'd ask the question. Are you and am I storing up treasures? Because here's the problem. If I'm really honest, I'm most of the time thinking about my treasures on earth. Most of the time I'm considered about different. I'm concerned more about what's going on here than what one day will be. And what Jesus is trying to help all of us see is that there's actually a better way. Say better way. A better way. A way that will last. Did you know that Jesus talks about money and possessions 15% of the time throughout the Gospels? That's more than he talks about heaven and hell. Why would he do such a thing? I want you to know the reason that he talks about money and possessions is because nothing is tied to your spiritual heartstrings more than your treasure. The treasures of your heart is always spiritual. It's always spiritual. And in fact, there's a story. Maybe you've heard this story. There was a guy named Zacchaeus. You probably, maybe if you haven't, I'll just give you a real quick story. Zacchaeus in the Bible, he's known as a wee little guy. He's known as a little man. I don't know about you, but I don't know if I'd want to be known as the little guy. But he was known as the little guy, and he was also known as a tax collector. He would rob and steal from people. He did wicked things, but he heard about this man named Jesus. He had to get a glimpse of him. He had to see him. So he climbed up a tree so he could see above the crowd, and as Jesus walks by, Jesus says, I'm going to your house. My house? I'm going to your house. So Zacchaeus, I could just imagine him jumping off the tree, maybe spraining his ankle, I don't know, falling. He's so excited, running home, getting the house ready. Jesus shows up, and do you know that Jesus says something that is absolutely shocking? He says, salvation has come to this house. What? How has salvation come to a tax collector's house? Someone who robs and steals, someone who is wicked to his core, that has no problem taking from people that need money. How could salvation come to this house? This is how we know. In the words of Zacchaeus, he says, Jesus shows up and he says, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I had cheated anybody about anything, I will pay them back 4 times the amount. And at that point, Jesus says, salvation has come to this house. Why has salvation come? Because suddenly his treasure is no longer on earth. It's in heaven. Zacchaeus got it. If you want to be set free of greed, if you want to get set free of putting treasures on the earth, the Bible teaches us, start giving it away, and you know what will happen? You'll start storing up treasures in heaven. It's treasures in heaven. Some of you were like, man, how do I get those treasures in heaven? Like, what does that really look like? Like, is there like a special post office somewhere? Like, does Bitcoin get to heaven? It seems as crazy out there anyways. Jesus actually tells us in a few different stories how you can start sending it ahead. One, in Matthew 19, 21. Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me. The context of that is a rich young ruler who has everything right. He feels like he's got everything going just the way he wants to do it. And out of nowhere, Jesus says, sell everything and give to the poor. And guess what he says? I can't do it. I can't do it. Why? Because once your heart is tied to something, it's really hard to break it. But Jesus says, if you want to start storing up treasures in heaven, start giving to the poor. Another way, Matthew 19, 29, he says, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. Have you ever had an investment? And here's the secret, sacrifice. Whether it's physically, financially, whatever you do, when you begin to sacrifice for the kingdom and for the poor and the hurting, God loves justice, you are actually storing up treasures in heaven. Now, here's the problem. What I am telling you is actually very, very difficult for many, many people, including myself, and here's why. We think God is asking us to sacrifice what's ours. If you're gonna understand the treasure principle, if you're gonna start having joy in your life when you give, if you want freedom, you must understand key number one, and that is this: God owns everything. I'm his money manager. Some of us are looking at like, are you sure? I'll never forget, 16 years old, I was so excited. A friend of mine showed up to our house, and he had a brand new red Mercedes. And I found out, because he told my dad, this car cost him $110,000 shipped directly to his house, and it had like different engravings and things. I mean, it was gorgeous. people. And you know what he did? He handed me the keys and said, go take. Naive enough to say, let's go. So I grabbed the keys, got in the car. I was in Seattle, Washington, drove all the way to Florida. Just kidding, I didn't drive to Florida. Why didn't I drive to Florida? When I'm 16. Have a false humility about what God's given them. Like they can't enjoy the blessing. Oh, I'm just so broke, so sad. I don't have anything. Oh, what's on TV tonight? I got an 86-inch plasma. My life is so lost. God wants you to enjoy the blessing, but he wants you to remember it's not yours. Because when it's not yours, you handle it differently. I am not the owner. He is. He is. And I can tell some of you are looking like, does that include like my credit cards? Does that include like my savings account? Are you sure, Pastor Nate? Here's what I want you to repeat after me. It's not yours. Let's try that again. I know some of you are like, man, I don't know if I want to say that. Let's try that one more time. One, two, three. It's not yours. And so they're like, well, Pastor Nate, that sounds great. Show me in scripture, please. So glad you asked. All right. Psalms 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. What? Are you sure? What about my 401k? What about my Roth? IRA. There's no way it's his. We don't like to say it that way, but isn't it true there's something inside of us that wants to hold on tight to everything? And what God wants you to know, you can and the leadership and the deacon board and the pastors and some of the people in the congregation, we are praying, asking, Lord, what do you want us to do? We want to get our preferences out of the way and just say, God, what are you leading us to? And why? Because Haggai 2:8 says this, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. Everything belongs to God. And did you know God takes it even further than your money? Even further than your possessions, even further than silver and gold. You know what he says? Your body doesn't belong to you either. Oh, no. 1 Corinthians 6:19 to 20. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Honor God with your bodies. Even down to the very, very smallest part of you, it belongs to God. So how are we supposed to live through that? How are we supposed to handle that? You know what we're supposed to do, the Bible says? Trust him. Trust him with everything. And remember, who's the owner? Am I the owner? Nope, I am his manager. It's not mine. I'm his manager. I want to ask you a very, very simple question. If I were to come by your house or your life and I was just to ask you, what's the difference between someone who's an owner and someone who is a manager? How could I tell the difference? And I put up on the screen, the way that you can tell the difference between an owner and a manager is simply by how they give. By how they give. I was listening to a pastor tell a story one time about the church was trying to raise money for pews. And so they had this great idea that they would have families buy pews. And every time you bought a pew, you would get your name engraved in a gold plate and they would slap it on the side of the pew. Well, some of the people who had some money, they got excited. They wanted a whole section to be their church's section. So they bought like 10 pews and the whole side was theirs. It was like Smith, 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 get Jones out of there, Smith, Smith, Smith. And it was a great process. They got the whole thing filled and everything. Well, one day a new guest came in and went and sat in a row labeled Smith. And when Mr. Smith came in, he sat down right next to this person. He said, hey, listen, did you see whose name was on the plate right there? And the guy was like, no. And he goes, hey, this is my row. I bought it. You can go sit over there. And that person got up and left, never to return. You see, what all of us have to do is ask God, when I give, do I own it? Am I purchasing things? No, this isn't mine. I don't own any of this. I give because I love God and it's all His. I am not the owner. I am the manager. So when I give, there's no strings attached. I'm not giving so that Pastor Rick will love me more. I'm not giving so that Pastor Nate will look at me and say, hey, attaboy, where's my plaque? No, I give because he gave first. I give because he loves me first. My life is transformed, so no longer do I act like it's all mine. No, I'm simply his manager. So here's why I want to ask you a question that's going to come up on the screen. Am I living like an owner or a manager? And the only way you know the difference is the way that you give. And it permeates into everything. Are you someone that gives with strings attached? Or are you someone that says, no, I'm going to bless you? Why? Because it all belongs to him anyways. It all belongs to him anyways. One of the clearest evidences of you living like an owner or a manager is how you give. If I could have the worship team come on up. The person who gave me that, didn't give it to me, let me use his Mercedes, $110,000. We affectionately started calling him Grandpa Ott. And I honestly have never met somebody more generous in my life than him. And what most people don't realize about him or didn't know at the time, and I found this out, he was somebody that loved going to breakfast. Anybody else love going out for breakfast? Come on, so let's be honest. Come on, I need to get it. It's like revival. Who loves going out for breakfast? Anybody else with me on this? Come on, somebody. I get amen for that one. There we go. And he took us to this place that had Denver omelets. I mean, just praise the Lord. I might get one after today. I don't know. It was just beautiful. And we would eat and we would talk. And I remember asking him, I said, man, Grandpa, like, tell me, how did God bless you so much? And he began, I said, just tell me your story. He said he moved from Kansas to Washington with $18 in his pocket. No family, nothing. He was a chain smoker that couldn't quit. He went to a revival service and he said, God, if you'll heal me, I'll follow you and do whatever you want. I want to stop smoking. I want to follow you. Gave his life to God. Threw all of his cigarettes away and never smoked again in the day in his life. Completely set free. Absolutely amazing. Yeah, we clap for that. That's awesome. And the Lord began to show him this treasure principle that everything that he owns is actually not his. And he began giving things away. And he started a little transmission shop company. And as he began to do this, God began to say, hey, I want you to do the work for that person for free, and he would do their work for free. He began to give people cars. Next thing you know, his business began to grow. Next thing you know, it began to go out further and further. Then he went from one shop to two shop to three shops. Next thing you know, they're the largest transmission company on the West Coast. People are literally shipping cars to him to have him work on it because he had an ability to fix cars no one else had seen before. As his business is growing, God begins tapping on his shoulder more and more, and he starts building orphanages for families on the other side of the continent, all across the world. He starts supporting missionaries all by himself, paying their entire way. He gave more to churches. He didn't just tithe the one church. He said, I tithe the three or four churches. You don't even know about the other ones. He couldn't help. He kept giving and giving and giving and giving and giving. And I'll never forget, I'm listening to him tell this, and as he's talking about this, he's smiling, but he's crying. He's like, I just couldn't help it. And I said, man, crap, why do you feel like you have to give so much? And he looked at me, I'll never forget what he said. He said, Nate, the time is short. Jesus is coming back. How could I hold on to this? How could I keep it all for myself? And he would give. And I believe one day, he's in heaven today, I bet there's a line of people. And the treasures, who knows? From somebody who no one would say he was a great preacher. But what they would say is he was a follower of Jesus who lived to give. Are you living like an owner or a manager? Because the truth is, church, the time is short. Jesus is coming soon. The last thing that we should be thinking is it's all about me. The last thing we should be thinking is, God, take care of me, me, me. Instead, we'd be thinking, God, what can I do? This is all yours. What can I do for you? Because the truth is, you and I are managers, we're not owners. So the prayer of this campaign is simply this: God, what do you want to do through me? If I could have you bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment. If you're listening to this morning, and whether you're online or in this room, you might be thinking, man, Pastor Nate, treasures are one thing, but I'm not even sure if I'm making it to heaven. I'm not even sure if I know Jesus. I've gone my own way. I'm not even sure what life looks like, but I want to know a God who would love me the way that you say that you do. I want to know Jesus. I want to surrender my life to him. If that's you, today's your day. If you want to surrender your life to Jesus, I just ask that you would raise your hand right where you are, and I'd love to pray with you. If that's you, you want to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, go ahead and raise your hand right where you are. I want to pray for you right where you are. Thank you. I see that hand. That's awesome. Anybody else? Thank you. That's awesome. Praise God. Anybody else want to make Jesus your Lord and Savior? Praise the Lord. I see that hand. That's awesome. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, you can put your hands down. If I could have everyone repeat this prayer after me. Say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Wash me and make me clean. I'm going to follow you all the days of my life. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a praise for those who raised their hand. That's so awesome. If I could have everybody stand with me as we get ready to close, I have one final question for you. As we close this service out, my prayer is for all of you. Please make sure you stop by and grab a book. Make sure you get some beautiful donuts. But also, would you put your hand on your heart right where you are, just right here? Put your hand over your heart. And I want you to start praying this prayer. Lord Jesus, what do you want to do through me? Lord Jesus, what do you want to do through me? Father, I pray Ephesians 3:20 over every person that is praying right now. What do you want to do through me? Exceedingly abundantly above all I could ever ask, think, or imagine. God, may you start within us. Do it within us, Lord. We can't take it with us, but we can send it ahead. May we learn to be managers, people that manage what you've entrusted with us. Father, I pray your blessing over your people as we sing this song, House of Miracles, I believe and I pray that you would begin to unlock in every person the joy of generous living, I pray. In Jesus' name.
Hello, my name is Pastor John, and I'm the online campus pastor here at Portland Christian Center. I wanted to first of all thank you for listening to this message, and our prayer is that what you heard today has inspired something within you on your journey to discover more who God is. I do want to give one more opportunity to accept Christ. So if you're listening today and want to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, then please pray this with me. Lord Jesus, for too long I've kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. I am ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead on the third day. Thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior. Amen. If you prayed that prayer to accept Christ, congratulations. We at Portland Christian Center call that decision your best yes. And we are here to help you walk forward in your faith journey. So whether you receive Christ today or are curious more about Portland Christian Center and what's happening here, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. That's pcctoday.com.